It's got to be done. I mean, they should have done this in 10 years.
Good morning. It's May 10th, 2018. This is the meeting of the Finance and Budget Committee. The agenda has been distributed. I'll entertain a motion for approval of the agenda. Second?
Second.
All in favor? Signify by saying aye. Thank you. And the other administrative business is approval of the minutes from our last meeting, April 12th. I assume you've all had an opportunity to view them. I'll entertain a motion for approval of those minutes. Second, please.
Second.
All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Now that we've got the agenda and the minutes approved, I'd like to provide an overview of today's business meeting. The first item on the agenda is a proposed amendment to the FY19 operating budget to incorporate bus service changes requested by the jurisdiction and the elimination of the Grover turnbacks in January 2019, voted by the board in June 2015 initially. We will hear the staff presentation on these operating budget changes, and we will then defer consideration until our meeting of the Finance Committee in June, because some members want additional time to propose amendments, and so the membership should have additional time to consider those amendments before we act on them. Then we will hear from staff on Metro's financial performance through the third quarter of FY 2018. That's the period that just ended on March 31st, 2018. As a result of continued and careful management, Metro remains favorable to its operating budget through the third quarter of the year. I'll now turn the floor over to Mr. Osecki to begin today's presentation.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. As the committee will recall, when the general manager laid out his principles for keeping Metro safe, reliable, and affordable last April, he capped the base annual operating subsidy growth to 3%. With the jurisdictions reserving the rights to request and fund new services above the base. The services that we're about to discuss today are above that KIMSRA base and are not included in the FY19 budget that this committee and the board approved last March. The Metro Bus services changes fall into two basic categories. The G9 pilot that runs on Rhode Island Avenue, and 24 state of good repair, good operation service adjustments, four of which actually were implemented last January. These services include additions, eliminations, as well as extensions to both regional and non-regional routes. And they have undergone Title VI analysis. If you go to the next slide, this slide shows the requested bus route changes with the implementation dates as well as the estimated ridership, which in this case aggregates to 830,000 trips per year. In terms of cost, the fiscal 2019 cost for the routes is $4.7 million, with expected revenues of about $1 million, which means that the jurisdictions will provide about $3.7 million in operating subsidy in FY19. On the next slide, assuming committee approval, this slide shows the total bus service changes that have been requested by jurisdictions at the bottom of the slide. It also shows the total subsidy contributions that will be expected from each jurisdictions based on the current Metro bus allocations on the right-hand side column. If you turn to the next slide, in addition to the bus services, Board Resolution 2015-37 also directed staff to prepare for board consideration a proposal to eliminate the Grosvenor turnback. On September 15, 2017, staff provided the board with a memo laying out the options that are related to that turnback. And on March 8, 2018, the Safety and Service Delivery Committee was informed of three options for eliminating the turnback beginning January 2019, following Metro's public participation process and Title VI analysis. The slide in front of you now shows the options that was discussed with the committee at that time. Option A completely eliminates the turnback, with peak trains terminating at Shady Grove. Staff estimates that option A will require 12 to 13 new positions and cost $2.5 million in subsidy because of the level of expected ridership from this particular action. Option B provides partial elimination, with some routes still terminating at Grosvenor itself. The next slide shows the schedule of activities as well as the timeline that Metro is working with regarding the elimination of the turnback. A reminder, Metro actually started the outreach earlier this month and plan to report back to the committee the results of those exercises at the July board meeting. Similar to slide 5, this particular slide shows the Metro Rail service changes requested by which jurisdiction at the bottom of the slide. It also shows, again, the total subsidy contributions from each jurisdiction based on the current Metro Rail subsidy allocation model on the last column on the right. I should point out that the subsidy is for half a year, which means that annualized, the region will be looking at $2.5 million in fiscal 19. This slide shows the projected operating subsidy growth over the next 10 years based on the KEMSRA principles that the GM announced last April. The blue bars reflect expected operating subsidy growth for baseline service level, with the orange sections on top representing the operating subsidy impact for the new Metro Rail as well as Metro Bus service changes over the same period. With that, Mr. Chairman, the committee, staff seeks committee approval of the requested Metro Bus and Metro Rail service changes.
Thank you. As I said, the defer actual debate consideration until June, as some members may have some further amendments that they want to propose. I'll give all members of the committee a chance to look at those amendments before we take them up at the June meeting. So we'll move on to your presentation on the third quarter update for the current fiscal year FY18.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, this is an update through the third quarter, through March of 2018. As of March 31st, Metro has an $18 million budget surplus, with over $800 million invested in Metro's capital assets. Operating revenues for the first three quarters of the fiscal year is $20 million under budget, but that gap was more than made up by operating expenses, which is $38 million below budget for the same period. And so today, with less than 3 months to go in the fiscal year, Metro expects to end the fiscal year with a balanced operating budget, perhaps even a marginal surplus, and more importantly, to meet Metro's capital investment target of approximately $1.2 million for the year. If you go to the next slide, we summarize here Metro's revenues, expenses, and net subsidy through Q3, along with our outlook for the rest of the year. Starting on the top left quadrant, operating revenues is $601 million through Q3, while operating expenses is $1.3 billion for the same period. On the top right-hand quadrant, we show that operating revenues is expected to end up at $816 million, which will be about 3% below budget. And operating expenses is forecasted at about $1.8 billion, which means that for the year, Metro is looking at around a $6 million surplus for the year. If you jump to the next page, which looks a little bit more in more detail with revenue, you'll see that aggregate revenue of 601 compares to a budget of $620 million for the same period. That 601 breaks down into $537 million in passenger revenues and $64 million in non-passenger revenues for the period. And you can see where the performance has been off, particularly the Metro Bus, which, as we discussed last time, is a function of both the level of ridership as well as the fact that more of our customers are using the pass, which is lower the average fare compared to budget. While rail is slightly off, they're performing much better than bus. We compare that for the year operating revenue, again, is off $20 million, primarily based on those factors. If you go to the next slide, looking at operating expenses, Metro spent $1.3 billion, including $962 million in personnel cost. In terms of non-personnel cost, the non-personnel cost was $370 million, which in this case is $12.4 million over budget. If you look at the categories in particular, staff has taken some action, which in this case with respect to materials and supplies as well as benefits, to make to accrue funds for additional workman's comp cost as well as additional claims expectations, which is actually contributing to the negative spend that you see in those categories. But overall, we are in a very good position with respect to the operating budget. If you shift over to the capital investment, Metro, as I said earlier, spent $810 million through the quarter. And overall, the investment in capital budget is trending the way staff forecasted last February. As a result, staff is projecting that capital investment for the year will range between $1.17 and $1.25 billion for the year, which will put Metro at about a 95% capital investment budget. If you jump to the next page, here we are summarizing by investment category the performance for the year. If you look through the third quarter, you see that while we spent 810 overall, we are actually about a 90% spend for the year, and that's because two of the categories are slightly behind schedule. But we do have projects lined up for the fourth quarter that will actually get us to the target of $1.2 billion that we're talking about. The rest of the slides will go through each particular item as Tom did for this committee over the last few years. Starting with rail cars on the next slide. This category remains Metro's biggest component in the capital program, and the 7K series again remains the largest contributor to Metro's capital spend. 52 rail cars were put in service in Q3, and through the quarter, or through the year so far, 524 rail cars has been accepted by Metro, leaving about 222 rail cars to go, which we expect will be provided through the early months of 2019. In the maintenance and facilities category, we saw additional investments here for rail car lists at Shady Grove, Wells Falls Church, and Branch Avenue, as well as additional investments in rail yard facility modernizations at Alexandria and New Carlton. In rail systems, Metro invested almost $64 million to improve traction power and rail communications across the organization. In proportion specifically, Metro awarded a multi-year contract to replace and upgrade 7 traction power stations on the Blue Line and to improve, which will improve power reliability across the system. In signals, Metro is accelerating the radio equipment delivery in Q4, which will actually drive another $65 million of expenses in that quarter, which will put us essentially to where we need to be in terms of spend for the year. In tracking structures, through Q4, we spent $101 million, which is actually higher than budget of 87. And the significant driver in this particular case is the Red Line water mitigation efforts under at Medical Center, which actually drove the budget over budget. If you move to the next slide, which is stations and passenger facilities, we spent $119 million and project spending $170 million for the end of the year. Again, the Capital and Strategic Planning Committee today heard about additional efforts with respect to platforms, which will drive our focus in terms of platform renovations over the next 3 years. In terms of vertical transportation, Metro replaced 7 escalators at a couple of stations, including Smithsonian and Judiciary Square, and also invested $16 million in this case in terms of system to improve lighting and cooling systems at various stations. On bus and paratransit services, we took delivery of 17 buses in the third quarter, and at this point expect to get about 87 buses for the year compared to the original 100 that was the target. The reason, as you heard from Tom last quarter, was the delay in terms of inspections with respect to engines, as well as the seating. On a metro access, we are taking delivery of 55 vans through March, including 31 vans that was provided in that month itself. We expect through the end of the year to get 227 vehicles. Other activities in this category include maintenance of 75 of 100 planned rehabs and continued progress on Andrews Federal Center Garage, which is actually ahead of schedule. And finally, in terms of business support, Metro invested $48 million and expects to be over $100 million at the end of the year. Similar to what we're seeing with buses, we expect IT delivery to ramp up significantly in Q4, which will help. And they, when we say IT delivery, these are actually operating systems that enable Metro to run its operations, not just office support activities. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my presentation. I'll be glad to respond to questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nsekhi. I think this is a very encouraging report. As opposed to prior years, it's good that we can look forward to a year where the operating budget may end up in surplus, even though it's a very minor amount of $6 million, as opposed to having to, at the last minute, look for ways to cut expenses. So we end up with a balanced budget and we can burden the jurisdictions with additional investment subsidy requests. I do have a question or two that I want to just ask you in that vein, and we'll start with slide 3, which is the slide that shows the net operating position forecast. There is one more back. There we go. You're projecting here that we will end the year with Metro Rail riders of 175 million for the full FY 2018. Do you have the figure of what the riders were for FY 2018 Metro Rail riders?
2018?
I'm sorry, 2017.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In 2017, Metro Rail was 178 million.
Sorry?
173.4 million trips were provided in 2017.
Ah, okay. So we've actually, you're forecasting a small increase in Metro Rail ridership for the full year as opposed to FY17.
I apologize. Actually, what the number I just gave you is the budget for FY19. The number for 17 is 176.9 million trips.
176.9.
Right.
Basically 177 million.
Correct.
So we just have a very slight decline.
Right.
Which is pretty, we've essentially stabilized Metro Rail ridership as opposed to the significant year over year declines we had been experiencing.
Right. And if you compare that, I mean, it's about a 2%. If you compare the same period that we're now compared to FY17, that's what we're looking at. In terms of prior year, it's about 1.2%. Compared to budget, is about 2.1%. So it is less. And this is also the reason why, if you recall, in projecting for FY19 and in anticipation of some of the additional efforts on the system, we actually moderated our ridership expectations for FY18.
So the reason that you're showing a deficit in revenue of $29 million is because you forecast a greater increase in Metro Rail ridership for FY18.
That's correct.
Just one more question along these lines, of colleagues. If you turn to the appendix, page 14, it shows the first three quarters of minus 1.2 variance for the 9 months, but it shows for the most recent quarter that Metro Rail ridership is a greater number, 5.8% compared to the prior quarter of last year. Was there some anomalies in that quarter from last year to this year that produced that big of an increase from 17 to 18? What's going on here with the numbers?
You're correct that there are anomalies within those periods in terms of what actually happened, in addition to the number of work days that are embedded in those timelines. If you recall, in the prior year, you have inaugurations, you have the Women's March, you have things going on that are not going on now. And compared to this year, where you have the March for Our Lives, but the number of participants in those events are different. You have snow that occurred this year than last year. So when you factor all of those in, that accounts for, again, as in addition to some of the ridership challenges that we've had, that accounts for the difference in terms of the percentage difference for both quarters.
I just want to make sure we're not seeing a change in the relative stability of Metro Rail ridership.
No, we believe that the major drivers are those events versus the base ridership trend itself.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take questions from other members of the committee. Mr. McMillan.
Just to amplify your last point, if I'm reading these numbers correctly, more than 100% of the year-to-date loss in rail ridership was from Q3. Something like 1,600 versus 2,500. I'm not asking a question,
right,
but rather amplifying the point that I believe these anomalies in the third quarter are what's driving that 1.2. So.
Right. That's which is why we do not believe that this is an organic experience. It is driven by those specific activities going on during those months.
Yeah. That said, the deterioration in bus ridership does seem to be more of a consistent trend.
Right. I mean, we see those impacts on rail, those external events on rail more than bus. We believe that bus has a more fundamental challenge, which is part of the reason why the GM is taking a holistic look at bus operations to see.
Just wanted to amplify that. Thank you.
Mr. Evans?
I'm fine, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Other members of the board, since this is now recognizing any other members of the board who have questions that they want to ask? All right. One more question for you, Mr. Osecki. On slide 4, slide 4. What is under other passenger revenues? I'm looking for where are we putting the revenue from UPass and Kids Ride Free? Is that the number under other passenger revenue, or are they allocated under the Metro Rail and Metro Bus revenue figures?
The UPass revenues are allocated between Metro Rail and Metro Bus. The Kids Ride Free revenues accounted for in other passenger revenues.
In the other passenger revenues?
Yes.
And combined, what's the total amount of the, you've got 14 for Kids Ride Free, so what's the amount for the UPass riders?
The 14 does not reflect, I don't recall at this point if the 14 is all entirely UPass. There may be other things in there. In fact, I know there are other things in there. other payments that are also passenger related but are coming directly from the jurisdictions are also in there. And I think that amount is about $1 million or so. I don't know how much of that component is in the quarter. That's why I'm hesitating a little bit. But in terms of aggregate numbers, as you know, that's negotiated. You know, for the year, it was supposed to be around, $18 million or so. And we build them on a quarterly basis. So whatever we've built through the third quarter will be what's reflected in here. Similar for the UPAS.
Could you just follow up with a note indicating what is the total for the Kids Ride Free and UPAS, and how much of the UPAS is in the 14, and where the Kids Ride Free money is allocated between bus and rail?
Okay, we'll do so. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Mr. Evans?
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. We have a request for the executive session. So in accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the board convene an executive session to discuss the following matters. Pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection G, disposition of WMATA property or acquisition of real property for WMATA purposes for discussion in public would adversely affect WMATA's negotiation or bargaining position, and H, development of WMATA position or strategy on pending or proposed federal or state legislation. I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll see everybody upstairs.